Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 16th of August 2009 and the time is 5:20 a.m. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
My name is Jo Withers. My date of birth is the 30th of 3rd, 1964. I'm from Nottingham.
Lovely. And how are you today, Jo?
I'm feeling fine, thank you. Yes. Good. Yeah.
You're looking very lovely.
Thank you very much. Yes, I've sort of dressed in my finery alongside Nelson and Napier in theirs, I think.
Brilliant. What was it that made you apply to be part of One Another?
Well, actually, it was my husband. He told me about it. He's a fine artist, and it was really he'd actually already signed up for it. So I thought, well, I'll do the same, not really thinking about it in too much detail. I think a lot of the analysis and a lot of thought process came afterwards. We'd sit over coffee and sort of think about, well, what if we did get on the plinth? So that sort of came afterwards. It was very much sort of one of those sort of spur of the moment decisions. Oh, that seems like a good idea. And I've always liked Anthony Gormley's work. I really like the terracotta figure, the Field of the British Isles. That was one of my favourites, still one of my favourite. We've seen another place. We've been to Crosby Beach and to the Hayward last year and seen just those silent statues on top of buildings. So I followed his work for a number of years, and that's really why I decided to enter.
Great. And when you found out that you did have a place, how did you decide how to use your hour on the plinth?
Hours of actually thinking and analysing, because initially I think I was thinking, well, is it about me as a person and me talking about myself or purveying something of myself, or was it more about the taking part and being one of 2,400 people? And hours of sort of discussion or thinking, and it still feels comfortable, and what I've decided is it feels that it's less about me needing to do something as such. My decision has been that I will stand, I will contemplate, I will reflect, I shall just be. So I know when I was reading his booklet just yesterday, again thinking, he does say just be yourself, and I thought, I'm not a natural performer. The work I do and the person that I am is more of an internal basis, so it just feels that's the right thing for me, that I shall just stand and taking that beautiful time of the morning where the sun has just set, and hopefully be still and see what comes up and what sort of thoughts and processes go through my mind in that particular hour.
Would you like to say a little bit about your outfit for the occasion?
Well, I do love Rome, and I do love sort of Roman history. I think the outfit is a bit more Greek in style, with these sort of to think what you call them, the folds in my dress, and I just decided that it was an occasion. It's not often that you stand on a plinth in Trafalgar Square. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and I thought, rather than dressing as an ordinary mere mortal, I'll elevate myself to actually putting on my own finery, and actually wanting to feel confident as well, something where I actually feel confident in and feel aesthetically I'll hopefully look quite nice, that sort of relationship between me and the plinth.
Can I ask you now to say a little bit about yourself? You're the person on the plinth at 6 o'clock till 7 o'clock this morning. Who's that person on the plinth today? I'll ask you very openly initially. What springs to mind when I ask you that question?
I think somebody who is very thoughtful. The work I do is caring for other people. I'm a massage therapist 4 days the week. I do have to do some corporate work at the moment to supplement my income, which is wonderful, because I have a very sort of have a manager that values what I do. But what I see myself and who I am is very much about more that listening skills of listening to people, dealing with people that are stressed, dealing with people that have particularly, whether it's emotional problems or whether it's more physical, and just enjoying doing that work where I feel as though I'm actually doing something that's worthwhile and helping other people. So it's very much that, what am I giving back, and that makes me feel very valued.
So that's your work, that's your working life. How about outside of work? What are your interests or passions?
Well, art is one of them. With my husband being an artist, we often go to art galleries, often come down to London for exhibitions. Haven't been to two actually in Nottingham lately, but we do visit exhibitions when they're on. Cinema, I love the cinema, I like reading. I suppose the main big thing is really just seeing friends and family and enjoying a good meal and a glass of wine.
You just mentioned that your partner is an artist. Would you like to say a little bit about him and maybe a bit about his work?
Yes, I'm sure I would. I'm sure he won't mind. Yeah, I mean, Simon's a... actually, his work spans... It's very difficult to try and pin him down. I mean, lately, he's actually been doing sort of some paperworks, and actually he's been trying to get some money for a project. He was shortlisted for the Gerwood Prize a few years ago, with the Bloom Project, but unfortunately he didn't actually win the Gerwood that year. But he has been trying to find funding in Nottingham with the Cultural Olympiad and to try and get this Bloom Project off the ground, which would be wonderful if it ever materialises. So now that's something that's dear to his heart and he'd really love for that to work. So that's more of a sculptural side, but he does sort of do sculpture, but he also does sort of paintings. He hasn't done... used to do 6x8 foot paintings, which are more, how do you describe them? He'd talk about them very much as being multifolds. It's actually quite difficult to talk about somebody else's work. I think I'm struggling with this. But yeah, I was going to say, he just seems to just, his mind is very much where it'll move from. I'm into sculpture at the moment, but you can see a progression, whether it's very much sort of Ruysch paintings to then actually the sculpture work that he then produce. Being quite vague, I'm finding it difficult to get into detail.
Yeah, of course, no, that's absolutely fine. How did you meet?
Oh, how did we meet? We met at a Christmas party 15 years ago, is it now? Yes, and I think I then invited him to a party I was having. So, yeah, it just sort of took it from there as this gradual friendship grew into, I think, much more.
And can I ask you to say a little bit about where you're from and your upbringing?
Okay. I'm originally from Derby, so not too far from where I now live. I came from... my mother was widowed at a very young age, and my father died when I was 4 years old. So she brought myself and my sister and a handicapped... I did have a sister who was physically and mentally handicapped. She died when I was about 7, so my mum's had a very sort of difficult life, I would say. But it's still very tenacious, and always been very independent, and brought my sister and myself up to very much look after ourselves and be quite independent. Instilled in us a sense of spirituality, which I'm eternally grateful for. Might not quite be the strict Catholic upbringing that I now foster as my own beliefs, but that sense of spirituality, I think, is a great gift that she's left me. And also that sense of being self-sufficient, and the fact of just sort of an education as well, of doing well at school. She wanted us to do well at school, and that would set us up for future life. So yeah, a lot to be grateful for from my mother. Yes.
And how did you come to be a massage therapist, and what was the journey that you took?
Right. Yes, an interesting one. I started off as being... I did business studies when I finished school, and went to college to do that, and then got into purchasing, procurement work, in an engineering company. Moved to America to work for Disney for a year. After 3 years of doing that, because I just thought, I'm single, I don't want to be doing this the rest of my life. Let's go off and enjoy myself. After watching, I think it was on Central News, there was something on Central News about people working at the Epcot Centre, and they employed people from various parts of the UK and the other sort of the other countries that's around Epcot. So I did that for 12 months and came back, and then ended up joining the NHS. And then I took redundancy from the NHS after 18 years last year and set up my own business. And the journey from that was that I was actually found myself in a situation where I'd progressed this career ladder into management. The next stage was director level or chief exec, and decided that it wasn't for me and was finding myself in a very stressful situation. So it's when I actually had time off work myself with stress and thought, this isn't for me, what am I going to do about it? Well, after recovering physically and mentally from the strain, I decided to do the massage course, and that's really where obviously it's led. I went back to doing what I used to do when I went back to work, but knowing that I actually had a get out clause and wanted to be doing something different. And then last year found that opportunity to be doing something that I really love.
Wonderful. And now do you work on your own? Is it your own business?
It is, yeah. I think it's like with the sort of work that I used to do anyway, I realised a lot of it was very much my own decision making. When I did go back the last 3 years, I had a very supportive team around me, which was wonderful. And that really helped, because you actually felt as though you're not on your own. There's other people, even if it was just bouncing ideas off somebody else rather than you carrying that. And that's something that I do actually miss. I know sort of that it's just nice sometimes to actually have somebody else, and I'm thinking that might be something that I meet up with other therapists in time. Because I'm enjoying that and I know I can make those decisions, but it is actually nice to have that sort of supportive team network, and I'm missing that a bit at the moment.
How did you see the NHS change from your experience over the course of years that you worked there?
I have to be quite diplomatic, I think, with this. By the time I'd left, it was very much about finance and savings. And I think they'd lost the element of actually, the words are correct, the term, the patient, it's patient-centred care, but when you actually haven't got enough staff to actually fulfil that particular statement, then it becomes quite meaningless. And when it's all about savings, and then actually using a lot of consultants and paying consultant rates to tell you what actually your own staff already know. I think I've said too much on that.
Sure. And what about beliefs? Do you have any beliefs? You said your spirituality. You said you've got a sense of spirituality. Would you like to say a little bit more about that?
Right. I think it's more a sense of a universe. I actually believe in the God within. Within each and every one of us, that it is something that is more at the centre of us. And I know I do try and meditate at times, very unsuccessfully. And that idea that of how we can perhaps project things with conscious thought. I do believe that obviously there's been prophets that have been around, like Jesus is a prophet. I don't know whether I actually believe everything that he said, but I think it's more of a sense of, as I say, the God within, that within each and every one of us.
Yeah. And how about politics? Do you have any sort of political alignments or persuasions?
I think I probably went through that in my 20s. And actually I'm at a point where I actually don't feel affiliated to any particular group, and in some ways I feel more what I do on an internal level is detached from that. Of actually it's more about, I know I did in the 97 elections, I'm actually thinking, well, I'm listening to what you're saying and listening to what you're saying, and actually it sounds the same even though you're different parties. So I think I still would do that on an individual basis. You know, I'll listen to what somebody's saying and whether that means something to me. So I definitely wouldn't affiliate to a particular group.
And can I ask about your family history? You know much about that?
No, unfortunately we don't. I think it's again because of sort of the 1916 uprising in Ireland, where a lot of the records were burnt. So it's very difficult to trace the history back. I think my cousin in Leicester tried to get so far back and then found that she couldn't get any further. But I haven't really discussed that with her for years. I know she's looking into it, so it's very difficult to go beyond my grandmother's. Yeah, my great-grandmother. I think that's as far as they've got. And I think it's one of those where they didn't actually pass that down, that knowledge. It wasn't really discussed. There is only my mum and her sister that's left now. But even when I talk to my uncle when he was alive, again, they don't seem to have that knowledge of you know, sort of centuries ago of the family.
Yeah. In Ireland, you say?
Yes.
Are you from Nottingham?
I'm originally from Derby. I was born in Derby,
yeah.
But my mother's mother was born in Mayo, and my father was from Longford.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, I'm Irish descent. Yeah.
You said the records had been burned. Do you know much about that?
I don't actually.
No.
I think it's just something where my cousin had pursued and tried to get, and I think it's something my mother knew, my auntie. But it's not something I've actually pursued, because I know my husband was talking about doing it for his side of the family and then realised his mother had done so much. But it can be so time consuming and be a full-time job that it's you think, well, maybe it's something you do in 10 years' time, but it's like, where do you find the time to fit in doing sort of that amount of research that it might require?
And moving forward now with you and your life, what's important for you?
I think the most important thing is to be happy.
Yeah.
It's very simple, really. Yeah. Is to actually, and that's something that comes from within. I don't think it's something that anybody can give you, is actually finding just the joy in very simple things, really.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, having loved ones around you is the most important thing to me.
Yeah. And who have you brought with you today?
There's just my husband that's come down today. Yes, I've had one or two people wish me well and texts and things. Yeah, just my husband today. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to add about taking part in this project or about you?
No, I think I started to sort of listen to myself, and once you hear yourself talking, then you're starting to do this analysis and thinking, right, I don't really know what I'm saying now. It just feels like, hopefully it hasn't been too woolly. And but no, I can't think of anything.
Sure, okay. Well, thank you very much, Jane.
Okay.